Chris Wilson is with us to tell us about his new book, The Master Plan, My Journey from Life in Prison to a Life of Purpose. The book is the memoir of a man who used hard work and a master plan to turn a life sentence into a second chance. Again, the complete title of the book, The Master Plan, My Journey from Life in Prison to a Life of Purpose. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Chris Wilson to the roundtable this morning. Chris, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on the program. At what point did you talk about this master plan? At what point in prison did you start to think about it as a master plan?
I would say it was around 2 years after being inside of prison, and I was battling a serious bout of depression, and I just felt like that my life was more purposeful. And that I didn't want to spend the rest of my life in there, and I knew I was a good person. And so that's when I decided I wanted to prove to myself and to everyone that my life was redeemable.
What put you in prison?
You said what put me in prison?
Yes.
I made a mistake, and I took a person's life, and I was sentenced to life in prison.
You were 17 years old?
Yes.
And it was ultimately a shooting?
Yes.
What happened?
It was a night when I was walking to the store, and some men started following me, and they surrounded me, and they started threatening me, my family, and they said they knew where I lived at, and the guy was trying to get behind me, and I was carrying a firearm, and I shot my gun. I ended up taking one of their lives.
You write in the book, "I just got on this planet. I don't even have a mustache yet, and my life is over." So at 18, you're sentenced to a life in prison. There is no hope of parole. So
right.
as you just said a moment ago, you start to go on this. By the time you're 20, you start to think about what you can do. You read, you work out, you learn languages, and you start a business. What is the motivation to do that if you think you're going to spend the rest of your life behind bars?
Well, some people would say that it's crazy to think you can do it. My mom instilled in me a deep sense of confidence and that if I was willing to work hard, I could achieve things. And so I always knew I was intelligent. And so there was a lot of programs, educational programs and therapy modules in this particular prison that I was in. And so I used those modules and the educational opportunities. I said, I'm going to prove to everyone that I'm a good person and that I could get stuff done. And so I just embraced the programs and started working on myself.
How were you able to do what is so incredibly difficult by the accounts of most in prison, that the culture makes it so difficult for someone to do what you did, to do what a correctional facility is ultimately supposed to do and correct the individual and allow them to grow?
I would say it's one thing to, like, not get in trouble inside of prison, but accomplishments matter. And so if there was a high school diploma, GED program, I said, okay, well, I'm going to get my GED. A college program came. I got my college degree, vocational programs. I participated in therapy. And so, you know, those accomplishments matter. And so that was something that made the difference.
You talk about this master plan, and for you, what was the master plan? I mean, was it ultimately to get out of prison, I assume?
That was part of it, but it was deeper than that. The master plan for me, or for anyone, is more of a philosophy of just wanting to live a different life, a better life. And I wasn't happy with how my life was, and so I thought about, I call it the end game. And it's, you know, maybe you're not happy with your job, or maybe you want to learn how to cook or learn a foreign language. And, you know, the book inspires, well, the master plan essentially is like inspiration of becoming a better version of yourself. And I created it, I wrote it up, and I just worked on it, and I just started checking things off the list. It took me a long time, though, but I was able to get most of it done.
When you say it took you a long time, I mean, by the time you are in your 30s, you are able to convince a judge to reduce your sentence.
Yes.
A life in prison without parole is then reduced to what?
They reduced my sentence to life hold suspended but 24 years. And I ended up spending 16 and a half years in prison.
And by the time you're in your 30s, you're out.
Yeah, so I got out of prison when I was 32 years old.
So that, by most accounts, is pretty impossible, isn't it?
Right. It usually doesn't happen.
And so what do you think happened there? In other words, what do you think worked in your favor besides just putting everything in place and proving yourself? I'm wondering, do you think that plan would work for everyone in every situation?
So I would say what really worked was when I had my time to stand before the judge, I articulated what it was like as a young man to live in a very violent neighborhood and watch people die around me, to watch my mom be assaulted, and how it felt to walk around every single day with that anger of being helpless and not being able to help my friends or help my mom. I explained what that felt like. I talked about how remorseful I was for what I'd done. Although I didn't start it, I still broke the law and I took a person's life. And I also talked about the education, all my accomplishments. And most importantly, I talked about if given a second chance, what I would do if I was able to be free again. And that was, you know, commit to the community, be an example. And that's something we need.
When you look at the second chance that you've been given, and you've been out for how long now?
Going on 7 years.
And do you feel that you are, as you say, you're still working on that master plan? There's still things that you're looking at and looking to accomplish.
Yes, absolutely.
And what does that look like? What I assume that's always a work in progress, right?
Yeah, it's always a work in progress, but I think I've completed, you know, probably 90% of it. The writing a book was part of the master plan, so this has come to fruition. But I want to get into philanthropy and, like, help more people. I want to settle down. I want to get married one day. And so that's on the list, and so I'm working towards those things.
In the writing of the book and what you wanted, I know you were a featured speaker in Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign video. You wanted to promote prison reform. What, as a person who went to prison for a very long time and got out and was given a second chance, what do you make of the prison system that we have, and what reforms do you think are necessary to allow more people like you to succeed the way you have?
I mean, there's a couple of things, but I think one thing that stands out that I'm really passionate about, which is also related to why I chose to endorse Bernie Sanders on the presidential campaign, is education. And it's proven, it's data that supports this, that prisoners, once educated, it drastically reduces recidivism rates. And so I know on the federal level they have Pell Grants that fund college programs, and it's controversial for some people because they say, why should someone get like a free college degree when they're away from prison? But as a taxpaying citizen, I want people to get corrected when they go serve time in a correctional institution. And so I would like to see college programs in prisons, you know, continue. There are in some prisons, but I want to see more of that. And I want people to get educated. And like, once you start understanding how the world works and how to, like, you know, work a job and build and write and do stuff, no one has time to break in your car. Like, they got other stuff, positive stuff.
In reading the book, I mean, you're so resilient. And I wonder, I mean, that's part of this story, too, your resiliency. You wonder of other people, as you say, you were depressed, but you wonder how many other people would have buckled under that.
Yep. I mean, it's unfortunate that most people do buckle. But, you know, part of it is we need beacons of hope. We need to be able to identify a person or a story or have that support system for someone to re-encourage them and tell them that you could be successful, that you can do it. And so some people don't have that. And that was one of the reasons why I really, really wanted to write the book, because I had survived so many things, but like I never gave up. And then I had people in my life that made sure I didn't give up. So I want to share that message with the world.
In sharing that message and in looking at what you've accomplished, give us an idea of your life right now, what you're doing. You're running, what, two businesses, basically?
Yes. Yeah, two businesses. I started painting. Part of my master plan was to travel the world. There was places that I wanted to see around the world. And, you know, I've traveled. I think I've been in 18 countries in the past year. I've been helping countless of people. I helped almost 300 people in Baltimore City get jobs. And I'm living my best life. And it's like, you know, I dreamed about this and when I was 20, when I wrote up the plan.
How do you help people get jobs? What do you do and how do you inspire them to get them to a place where they are, people want to hire them?
That's a good question. And the truth is, a lot of people aren't ready to work the job that they want to work. And, you know, one of my companies is a construction contracting company. Sometimes we need to go do some demolition, or we need to move some stuff, or we need to haul some trash or build a wall and stuff like that. And so what I like to do is try to instill good work ethics in the people that's showing up on time for work and keeping your pants pulled up and just working really hard and being professional when dealing with our clients. And by doing that, I'm also vetting this person to maybe pass them, to allow them to work for another company or a bigger company that I may partner with or have a connection with. And so I've been doing stuff like that for years since I've been home. And, like, that's something that, you know, most companies wouldn't even take a chance with a person because of maybe a mistake they made in the past. And I'm willing to take chances with people.
And to take a chance on those who have formerly been incarcerated and realize that they have a lot to offer.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Why do you believe, I'm sort of leading the witness here, I realize that, but I mean, do you believe that will always be a difficult sell, or that we can change that?
It's always difficult. Like, nothing's easy in life, and to be honest with you, like, the way I operate, like, I'm a tough project manager / social worker. So there's no handouts. It's not that, okay, I understand that you've been through some stuff, so I'm going to just give you this job, or you're just going to, like, no, you got to work. And so it's no excuses with my people, and that's not my philosophy. It's like, you got to work. If you want it, you got to work for it.
Well, the name of the book is The Master Plan, My Journey from Life in Prison to a Life of Purpose. It is published by Putnam. Chris Wilson, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on the book. Congratulations on your success, and I thank you very much for sharing it with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. Again, the name of the book is The Master Plan, My Journey from Life in Prison to a Life of Purpose. It's published by Putnam. Chris Wilson is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.